had been like discovering gold and silver, or a license to coin them. The supply was evidently inexhaustible, and obtaining it was easy. By the mid-17th century, a host of indigenous cultures, expert in extracting the resource, had become eager for, dependent on everything that Europe made in such high volume. Metal, buttons, muskets, glass, tailoring, brandy, and more. And forts. It was in service of getting beaver and other furs that the French became such great fort builders. Illinois country Indians often sought protection from the powerful, aggressive Iroquois Confederation to the east, and the French built forts, usually with the permission of their trading partners, on the high banks of the Mississippi itself. Others they garrisoned near strategic confluences of the many tributaries. A few permanent settlers hugged the network in support, and the villages were nice, with houses standing gaily painted in rows along the riverbanks. While English speakers to the east thought of the region as remote, the more cosmopolitan forts were scenes of balls and soirees. Villagers owned mirrors, billiard tables, and neat kitchen gardens. Many years later, American soldiers discovering the ruins of an old fort on the Great Miami River in the former Illinois country would conclude that no Indian nation could have enjoyed sole hegemony there. The French had been there too. New France villagers wore the latest Paris fashions. So they wore, of course, the American beaver. Of peltry from America, the hatters of France made thousands and thousands of hats, and French merchants and shippers sold some of them across the sea to the French Americans. That all went on for nearly 100 years. Part 1. Sinclair's Retreat. 1. The Death of General Butler. On a November morning in 1791, nearly 30 years after the French crown abandoned its American empire, a man named Richard Butler sat against a mattress propped against the base of an oak, dying in pain near a bend of the upper Wabash River. Butler came from Pennsylvania, and to him, this cold ground, once called the Illinois country, lay indisputably in the American West, specifically in the Northwest Territory of the United States. Close by and in the distance, others were dying too. Hundreds of them. Some screamed and some groaned, and through the smoke of exploded gunpowder came a sharp cacophony of musket and rifle fire, triumphant screams of the enemy, and orders yelled in English and being ignored. Around the wounded Butler, a group of men and officers crouched in hurried conference. Butler started laughing. Evidently, he'd registered the shrieks of a cadet nearby and was struck by the sheer intensity of that noise. A beloved general, he'd been shot in the arm while trying to rally troops back from their outright flight in the face of a surprise attack from all sides. Getting his arm in a sling, he mounted a horse to take charge of the collapsing front line. Shot again, he fell from the saddle. Four soldiers had lugged and carried him in a blanket to his tent in a row of tents, but he found his wound too painful to allow him to lie down. So they'd propped him against this oak, an especially huge, spreading tree, and stacked two knapsacks on either side to hold him up. Butler was a heavy man, and as he laughed, his sides shook his coat. Some of the men around him were grieved to think he had no chance. Others thought he might make it if they could only remove him from the scene. But it was becoming horribly clear that getting out of here at all, let alone lugging a large man, was more unlikely every second. Most of the officers were dead. The numb-fingered soldiers left alive had been firing as best they could, but as the enemy began to breach the perimeter, they gave up, collapsed their formations, and crowded by terrified instinct toward the center of the field of battle. There they were easy to shoot down en masse. Now, where Richard Butler sat propped, his youngest brother, Captain Edward Butler, appeared, carrying on his back another brother, Colonel Thomas Butler, both legs broken. In pain and with no time to spare, arrows were thrumming into the row of tents, the Butler brothers tried to confer.